stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, the home of common sense, no-nonsense paranormal talk radio. Well, tonight we're going to go on a slightly different course and visit probably one of the most infamous and mysterious mass crimes of the century. I'm referring to a group known as the Family. Now, as you may recall, the name Charles Manson became synonymous with the gruesome and shocking murders of Sharon Tate, Jay Sebring, Lino and Rosemary LaBianca, and others in 1968. I recall I was fairly young at the time, but I recall it shocked the world. Now, the activities of the so-called Manson family of hippies who killed on command was probably one of the strangest cults to hit America, next to Jim Jones and the People's Temple. You might remember that Guyana tragedy where 900 people died, approximately 900 people died from drinking orange soda pop laced with cyanide. Very bizarre story, and I know that a lot of it's been popping up as mind control, experimentation, that type of thing. But anyway, my guest tonight has just published a shocking new book with new information that's never before been released, which continues to support the shroud of mystery surrounding the whole Manson business. Now, we're going to explore also tonight on this program a possible connection between Manson and the infamous Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer, as you may recall, is another bizarre murder mystery that plagued the San Francisco area in the late 60s, around the same time as the Manson family. My guest tonight has got a letter that we're going to talk about on this program. And again, this is something regarding a new book that he has put out called Manson Behind the Scenes. And my guest will be joining us in just a moment. On the news, I have a press release from regarding Comet Hale-Bopp. It says Comet Hale-Bopp is set for a dazzling celestial display. This dateline is January 22nd from Boulder, Colorado. Alan Hale, the co-discoverer of Comet Hale-Bopp and author of Everybody's Comet, A Layman's Guide to Comet Hale-Bopp, which, by the way, is published by High Lonesome Books, is predicting that the comet will provide astronomy buffs with a spectacular display during the next few months. Hale has been crisscrossing the country to attend interviews, book signings, and star parties as backyard astronomers and never-before stargazers anticipate a stellar astronomical show rivaling last year's event of Comet Hyakutake. Now, widely publicized stories of a UFO following the comet, mostly appearing on the Internet, have served to fuel interest in this cosmic event. Hale and other members of the astronomical community have totally debunked these rumors. We know that. He was on the program here talking about that as well. According to Hale, Comet Hale-Bopp is surpassing expectations and promises to be quite a show. In fact, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I wanted to let you know that. It is now, apparently, from what I understand, visible to the unaided eye in the morning hours now, just before sunrise. At least here in Colorado it is. You might want to check with your local astronomy department to find out where in your listening area where the comet is visible. But it is in the morning. And I understand that as time progresses over the next couple of months, it's going to move through the sky, and eventually it will end up on our sunset horizon, and it's supposed to be quite a display. Okay, moving on to this program tonight. Some of you might be wanting to know how is this relevant to our usual theme of the paranormal. Well, one of the things I found very interesting is that there is a lot of discussion on the Internet right now about the Zodiac Killer. I myself personally do not know a whole lot about this stuff, but I was, I guess, chided by someone or goaded by someone, actually several people on the internet within our network on Paranet, to get into this because it is germane to conspiracy type stuff. And of course, I find this very, very interesting because this is, you know, this represents, the Manson murders represent one area of a string of strange crimes that have plagued our society over the last few years. And as you recall, as I mentioned earlier, the Jim Jones cult, the People's Temple, was one of those kinds of weird, bizarre episodes where there was a lot of rumors that there was some kind of intelligence group activity involved in it. But I just found this to be very interesting. So we're going to talk about that, this book, Manson Behind the Scenes. My guest is Bill Nelson. Now, Bill is a pro at the media. He's been involved in media for many years, and he's joining us tonight from California. And I've got here, the book is being published by Pen Power Publications, and Bill Nelson is the author. He has spent 7 years doing this research. He's traveled with the mother of Sharon Tate, Doris Tate, and he's wrote his first book on the Manson case in 1991. Nelson has also produced 2 documentary videos on this case, and he's also attended most of the parole hearings for Manson, the Manson family members, over the past 7 years. And he has a unique place in this case, and he has contacts on all sides. California Breeze Productions is a sister company to Pen Power, and he has broadcast quality or high VHS footage of hearings, the Barker Ranch, for television and radio. He's an amazing collection of photographs of Sharon Tate for use on your, you know, different kinds of things. But anyway, it's my pleasure to bring to the program tonight Bill Nelson. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the program. This is a very interesting, at least personally to me, the Manson thing was pretty interesting. I have a question, though. Why a new book now? I mean, why after 30 years since the Tate-LaBianca murders, why are you publishing this book now?
Well, I'll tell you, the Manson case is that case which used to be called the crime of the century, before O.J., and it's the case that would have gone away a long time ago, Mike, would have died if the people given the death penalty would have been executed. But a funny thing happened in 1978. The death penalty was overturned, and by 78, the Manson family members, including Charles Manson himself, were eligible to be paroled. And it's a unique quirk of fate, and a lot of people think it was justice not served. I take a different position. Maybe these unsolved murders that I've worked on, maybe the tie to Zodiac, is meant to come out with those people still alive to face it.
Now, that's a very interesting thing. You touched on Zodiac. What, help me out here, my listeners. What is the Zodiac killer?
Well, the Zodiac killings really began in, as far as we can record in history, back in 1966 with the death of Sherry Joseph Bates, a resident of Riverside. She was attending Riverside Junior College. More recently, it became known as Zodiac took credit for the killings he did in December of 68. Just to kind of give a time mark, November 25th of 1968, the Beatles' White Album was released. Charles Manson relied heavily upon that, indicating he was supposed to have been receiving messages from the Beatles through the White Album. And you've got a letter. The Manson family group sent a letter to Sacramento and to Los Angeles mid-December of 68. And then you have the Jensen Faraday Zodiac attack in Vallejo, California, December 20th of 68. Then one that's never been solved is Marina Hobby. She was murdered in the Los Angeles area December 30th, 1968. And it's kind of interesting because there's different killings throughout 68, 69. Early 70 that are attributed to a man who signed taunting letters to Zodiac, and he taunted the Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Riverside Press Enterprise, and things like that. He dressed up in kind of a garb with a kind of a squared top hood. He had a vest with a emblem over it, a circle with a crosshair through it. And he kind of had a get up, but he always taunted the police saying, "You're too dumb to solve the Zodiac murders. I'm smarter than you." And he did a lot of killing. And I believe that my book is timely because I opened up the door through the letter that I discovered that was actually given to an unsolved murder case on November 21st, 1969. She's listed in Helter Skelter, you'll remember, and James Sharp and Doreen Gall were the two Scientology students murdered and left in an alley behind Magnolia Street.
Right.
I have a letter. Don't ask me why a police officer took this letter from the private property possessions of Doreen Gall. And, Mike, you go figure. He had this letter for 23 years tucked away in his attic in a briefcase. And while at his house going through some crime photographs, it fell out on my lap. I opened it up. I saw it typed. I knew it was a copy of a copy of a copy because that was his trademark. And it was signed simply in caps, the Zodiac.
Wow.
I looked at the officer and I said, what is this? He says, oh, you know, we found it in her things. Never been seen. My book will document that. And it's an interesting letter because I have to think that Zodiac has been wondering all these years, where is it? Why hasn't that letter been discussed? Well, we're going to expose it, and there's going to be a lot of sparks to fly over this connection to the Manson family.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll get into some of those connections and some of the interesting aspects of this case. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is author Bill Nelson. We're talking about his book, Manson, Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to follow. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, there's a lot on the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned, keep an open mind, and call in. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbett.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. It's a toll-free number. Give us a call. My guest tonight is Bill Nelson. We're talking about his latest book, Manson Behind the Scenes. And before we went to break, we were talking about the connection between the Zodiac Killer and the Manson family. Continue, Bill.
Well, I am friends, as you know, Mike, with the chief prosecutor of the Manson family, Vincent Bugliosi, six-time bestseller. And I've been sharing with him over the past 2 years my concept of the Zodiac connection. I didn't invent this concept. I had appeared on a television talk show, and a author happened to see me and wrote me as a result of my appearance. And over the last 2 years, I've been telling Vince about it, and he finally asked me a question. Is there any time that your suspect could not have been available for a crime committed by Zodiac? And I answered, no. At every crime of Zodiac, this person related to the Manson family was available, was free, and most of the time his whereabouts unknown. How about that?
Interesting, very interesting. Why did you write the book?
I wrote the book because there's a lot of things that I found out about the case, Mike, after my long investigation, my tour with Doris Tate. I went to Canada with her, over to Sweden to a victims' rights conference, over to England. I met Roman Polanski, the former husband of Sharon Tate, in Paris with Doris. I really got to know her well, and I kept hearing a lot of stories and clearing up a lot of things in my mind that just weren't correct at the time that Helter Skelter was written or the case was prosecuted. And it was actually Mr. Bugliosi who continued to prompt me and say, you really ought to write the book. Nobody else could do it. And I really didn't want to write the book. And I walked away from the whole thing and sold my library, would you believe? And it came back to me. I mean, I'm 53 years old. I'm a white male. You're almost unemployable in that situation. And the book came back to me, and I thought I'd be done by Christmas. And I didn't finish until about 10 days ago with the complete manuscript. The covers are done. The book will be on the streets available as of February 12th. It's 400 pages, almost all new information, nothing regurgitated, rehashed. And there is so much information on this case that is just absolutely astounding. Let me just give you a tease.
Okay.
You haven't heard this yet from me, Mike. Gypsy, who was in the family, Catherine Scherer, she admitted through her agent that the Manson family members were in the LaBianca house within 2 weeks of the murders of Lino and Rosemary LaBianca. That has never been known before. I called that information into Mr. Bugliosi when he was doing his update on Helter Skelter.
Mm-hmm.
I helped him write that chapter, his afterglory, whatever he called it, and I didn't believe the information. And I asked him if he would confirm that. And he not only was able to get information on that, which blew his mind, but she also said they used to go swimming in the swimming pool at the Tate property when Terry Melcher lived there,
mm-hmm.
and they used to drive the sports car, the Ferrari, by Dennis Wilson, and I really didn't believe that one. And Mr. Bugliosi called Terry Melcher, and Terry Melcher said she's telling the truth. You got to know, we never knew that the Manson family girls partook of any swimming in that swimming pool at the Tate property at any time. These were not random killings, as it has been believed. Both houses were targeted on purpose, and as Harold True said, he was the next-door neighbor to the LaBiancas, that the different family members had had a peyote party there. Linda Kasabian had been at a big party there. Diane Lake remembers being at a party there. Harold True said that Charlie Manson went to the only two places he knew very well, the Tate House, the LaBianca property, to those two locations where he received rejection, and he did the murders in those two locations. He said it was never a random hit. And I think that's kind of fascinating because it brings a whole new thought to this Manson murder case, don't you think?
I think it does. But you know, the thing I'm wondering is, when you talk about rejection, I know that Bugliosi did at least look at that theory, but is that enough to commit these kind of murders? Wasn't there something? I mean, I think just from looking at the way all this went down, there seemed to be something more to it.
Well, it was that he wanted to start a race war, and he believed he was getting messages from the Beatles through their instruments, their guitars, through Revelation chapter 9 to rise. and to do all these things. He really believed he was getting messages to start a race war because the blacks had not at that time, 1969, risen up as he thought they would. Now keep in mind, you know, I'm old enough to have gone through this. I was in Vietnam when Watts was burning. I wondered what I was doing over there when Watts was burning. I said, what is going on back home? Well, Manson and his followers had to believe that the blacks had just about had enough. And after the Watts riot, 65, 66, after the assassinations in 1968, Robert Kennedy, etc., Manson had to believe it's time. And that's the words he used when he started the massacre to the Tate property. He called them together on the boardwalk at Spahn Ranch, and he said, it's time. Coincidentally, that's a term that Zodiac used, it's time. And Manson really believed that he needed to show the blacks how to rise up. And the thing that is so offensive is he wanted to destroy society by destroying the whites, and the blacks would take power. But then Charles Manson thought they were too illiterate and too dumb to keep power, so they needed the family, of all things, these hippie girls and Charlie Manson, to show them how to maintain power. So it was much more far-fetched to start a race war. That's why they wrote pig on the door in Sharon Tate's blood.
Was Manson crazy? Is he crazy?
No. When I interviewed Diane Lake, and I'm thrilled to have Diane Lake, who was called, for all of you people who read Helter Skelter, Diane Lake, Snake Lake, and she got that weird reputation because of the way she was supposed to have moved her body during sexual encounters, when that has infuriated her all these years. Mike, she gave me an exclusive interview, and I asked her to describe, give me some adjectives on Charles Manson, and I was stunned when she said, brilliant. Charles Manson was brilliant. And the people that really knew Charles Manson, none of them thought he was crazy. A manipulator, a con artist, but I never thought I'd hear the word brilliant. Did you?
No, that's interesting. Okay, hold that. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Bill Nelson. We're talking about his newest book, Manson Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/Paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
You can help support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet catalog. Paranet offers products and services to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed T-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including the spectacular black-and-white Paranet T-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 130 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews of such people as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Vallée, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Travis Walton, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine, and Paranet memberships with access to MyCap, our UFO investigations group, and discounts on merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
the mysteries of the paranormal, UFOs, future science, parapsychology, angelic phenomena, ghosts, secret projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
My guest tonight is Bill Nelson, his latest book, Manson, Behind the Scenes. And again, we're covering this topic tonight because it kind of falls into the purview of conspiracies and something very interesting here. But Bill, before we went to break, you were mentioning that, you know, that these murders were not random acts of senseless violence. You know, we hear these things popping up also with Son of Sam and these other different crimes that are going on. My question is, and if we have a deal here where there's a connection possibly between Manson and the Zodiac Killer, and I'm just curious how somebody gets that kind of access to the top-level people that were involved in all of this.
You mean how – I don't follow your question.
Well, in other words, you know, we're talking about the crime of the century, at least
right.
Before the O.J. case.
Right.
But we're talking about, you know, a man who was able to – these people have been convicted in a court of law. We're talking about a man who was able to get people, and you know, in all of the literature that I've ever read about this, we're talking about people using words like hypnosis, hypnotic.
Well, mind control.
Yeah, exactly. Are we dealing with something like this?
Well, I think you are, because Charlie Manson was a gifted manipulator. He was able to control other people. In completing my book, the end of last year, Mike, I interviewed some of the police officers that were at Barker Ranch October 10th, October 12th of 1969. They took Manson and the other followers in custody, and the man was describing to me riding in the back of the pickup truck with Manson and what the response to the girls and the guys were when they were laughing and singing and very giddish and they could care less. And when Charlie gave disapproval, how immediately their expressions would change. They would get quiet, and he thought, wow, these guys really listen to this guy. This guy's powerful. He's only a 5'2" little runt. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he was able to manipulate and control and motivate people to do things that perhaps they wouldn't have done if they hadn't met Charles Manson.
Well, now, the thing is, how do we stack this up with, say, some of these other crimes that have come down the pike that have similarities?
Well, in most cases, the killers will do the job themselves. Ted Bundy acted alone. You talked about the Jim Jones incident. The only thing I have in common with him is that I came from Indianapolis, and so did he. And Charles Manson used to be housed in a correctional institution in Juvenile Hall in Indianapolis. So maybe it's the water in Indianapolis. What do you think?
Now, you have a Manson member who is in the federal witness protection. What's the story on that?
Well, it's very interesting. A member of the Manson family is paid for and protected by our federal government. She married a man in prison, federal prison. The story I got was he was guilty or involved in some murders. He turned evidence, was moved from one state to another state, and this person was actually doing a little bit of television in 1993, appeared in a tabloid in 1993, and I called up the Justice Department and I said, I don't understand. How do you have someone in federal witness protection allowing her to possibly write a book talking about movie rights and appearing on television while she supposedly is being paid for by the taxpayers? I think it's extremely humorous. The person was involved in the Hawthorne shootout, and her name's Gypsy. Catherine Scherr, Gypsy, is paid for by witness protection funds today.
Why? I mean, what's the reason for that?
I suppose related to her husband and what he was possibly involved in. If he turned snitch in prison, as I was told he did, then that could be some pretty heavy stuff. I also document in the book, Mike, that while traveling up through the mountains in the suburbs of Los Angeles recently, I stopped at a restaurant, and there was a woman there who documented that she knew that Catherine Scherr was in federal witness protection. And she said to me, oh, you'd be amazed what's happening to a couple of these people. One of them is a school teacher teaching our kids. And I said, really? Who's that? And she couldn't recall, but she says, more than that, there's another one that's actually in witness protection. And she told me there was a couple murder contracts out on Catherine Scherr. So I thought that was phenomenal that I would even hear this story. I've only been in that town twice in my life. So she's in federal witness protection, protected and paid for by we taxpayers, and she used to flee the federal government after the Hawthorne shootout and her credit card scam that she pulled off in Northern California, which was nationwide. She was up in Canada for about a year, traveling and fleeing from the FBI's pursuit. So it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling to me is the only word I can think to describe it.
What, now, I think a lot of people may, old enough people would probably think about this, but I know that there was a, the caretaker, I think it was William Garrison?
William Garrison.
He was in the house, in the caretaker's house, which was behind the house on Cielo Drive.
Just a few feet beyond the pool, very, very close, maybe, 60 feet.
Now, he was taken into custody immediately when the bodies were discovered, and he was actually their prime suspect at the very beginning. What kind of, I know that there was a lot of controversy, and there were several things kind of left up in the air, I felt, by Bugliosi that were touched on by Sanders and these other guys. What is his story?
Well, we have the world exclusive, and I sent you the book cover, and you'll see that it says the world exclusive in that the only person alive on the Tate property breaks his silence. William Garrison has always maintained that he was just listening to music, zoned out on alcohol and or marijuana, and he never heard anything all night. The police found that impossible to believe. Mr. Bugliosi conducted sound tests there at the main house and out by the front gate to determine, could you have the stereo turned up around 4-something decibels? Is it possible you wouldn't hear gunfire, yelling, screaming, butchering with knives 60, 70 feet from you? And Mr. Garrison has always continued to say, Mike, that, well, I didn't hear anything that night. And I renewed my relationship with him at the end of last year, completing this book, and I said, Bill, I've talked with you on the phone. We've got kind of a rapport. But I never really ask you about the crime because I wanted to come and see you. But I can't do that. So is there anything you could tell me? And to my utter amazement, he began telling me what he heard and when he heard it. And let me say this. William Garrison heard Abigail Folger being killed. Now, why didn't he do anything about it? He explained to me that he walked down the hall and he was thinking in his mind, what's that? What's that all about? And he went back into a closet. It has a window that faces the pool and the Tate, Sharon Tate's bedroom, actually. And he stood there and he heard high-pitched screaming conversation. And a little voice told him, don't open the curtain. He doesn't know why. You know, his main question has been in his entire lifetime, why am I still alive? The next morning when the cops came to the house, obviously, he's going to be the primary suspect because there's one guy alive and he got five bodies all over the property. So the police were right to think, boy, this is really weird. And they were pretty rough with him and he didn't know what was going on. And they said when they took him in custody, you don't know what's going on? We'll show you. And he told me what it was like to be drugged near the body of Abigail and his face shoved down there to say, who's that? And over to Wojtek Frykowski, who's that? And out to the car to Stephen Parent as they're screaming, who is this? You don't know anything that's going on? And he blocked it out of his mind all these years. And there's a little something that happened in his life in the last 2 years, and it clicked. And he sat there in the living room, and he said to his mom, my God, I heard that. And it's a phenomenal story of recollection. That he had basically, I think as a defense mode, just kind of blocked it out of his mind, dealing with the bigger question, why am I still alive?
Yes.
Why am I still here? I will tell you also, it's in the book, how he knew that Patricia Krenwinkel told the truth, that she had turned that doorknob and the dogs were barking, and then where he stood as he really got scared and he froze in a hallway and he heard her footsteps running back towards Tex Watson. I got to tell you, that's enough to frighten anybody.
It is. Hold the thought. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Bill Nelson, and the book is Manson Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned. We've got callers. We're going to take your calls coming up from the next break, so we'll be right with you. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP. It is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. This is the Paranet Continuum, where we answer questions and question answers. And we want to know what you think. Call us and stay tuned. Now back to your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And of course, you're hearing it tonight, the first time ever. Shocking new information documented and completing 7 years of research by my guest tonight, who's compiled a 400-page book that gives everyone a rare view of behind-the-scenes actions in the Manson murder case. And, Bill, we're going to take a call. Stand by here. Okay, we've got John calling in.
Hello.
John, are you there? Hello, John. Bill, are you there with us?
I'm here with you. I heard John say hello.
Okay, John.
Hello.
John, are you there? Okay, we're going to put John
back. Yes, I can barely hear you.
Okay, go ahead and ask your question, John.
Okay, my question is, just what is the connection of the Manson family with the Zodiac Killer? It seems to me that, if I remember right, Charles Manson did not get out of prison until maybe 67, at which time, you know, subsequently he founded the family. But if the first Zodiac killing occurred in 66, where's the connection?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, Zodiac did not take credit for the 1966 killing of Sherry Joe Bates until much later. However, I'm not saying that Charlie Manson himself is Zodiac. I'm saying that a member of the Manson family participated as the Zodiac. We have another book coming out from Pen Power Publications in about 60 days called The Zodiac Manson Connection. And in that, Dr. Howard Davis, one of the top experts in the country on Zodiac, goes over that, John, quite clearly. And I believe that Manson took some of the Zodiac's information, and I don't think it was all formulated until 68, 69, until the taunting letters were received by police and the guy used a certain style of writing. But we believe that the killer of Sherry Jo Bates is the same person that killed Doreen Gall and James Sharp. My book will have in it a lot of the crime photos from Doreen Gall and James Sharp. And the officer who stood over those bodies in the alley, November 21, 1969, actually declared, "My God, the people that did this did Sharon Tate." So I believe we sew that up pretty good. We're going to take a lot of flack on that, John, and there's going to be a lot of doubting Thomases on it. But I believe that we've made the connection of the Zodiac letter, and it was just fortuitous that the officer happened to have this, and I was able to get a copy of it and now to publish it.
If I understand it, then possibly the man who became the Zodiac, after he first made his first killing, so to speak, he joined the Manson family?
Well, we believe that's true. He later met Charles Manson, but actually this man may have been guilty of crimes as early as 1964 in the Newport Beach area of California. By the way, this man, by his own account, was in the state of California during 1965-66. His first trip to the West Coast was in 1962. I've interviewed his sister, and all I'm saying is I want law enforcement to take a look at this person and to see whether or not this person could possibly be the Zodiac. You know, I'm not going to go out and say this person is. I don't have law enforcement authority to do so, but I really think he ought to be looked at as a suspect.
But you do have a name.
I do have a name.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
Does he still live in California?
Well, yes, only because he's in prison.
Oh, okay.
See, a lot of people ask, John, why did Zodiac stop killing? And all of the experts say, well, possibly he died, or possibly he's been incarcerated. I believe the Zodiac killing stopped because this man was taken into custody, one of the last members to be taken in custody in the Manson case.
What about, Bill, what about the possibility? I've heard that some researchers have pretty strong evidence that the Zodiac killer is, in fact, maybe two people or more.
Well, I do think that Dr. Davis will show that it is not necessarily always the work of one person. You know, someone who saw the vest that Zodiac wore remarked about the embroidery of it and how incredibly detailed it was. And we know that Sandra Good has custody of Charles Manson's vest to this day. It's not far-fetched to believe that some of the most inner circle people around Manson were the ones who actually embroidered the Zodiac garb. But that's Dr. Davis's bag of expertise more than it is mine. But you're right. I believe you'll find that it's a combination of things. It doesn't necessarily always have to be the same killer.
Okay. John, you got any other questions for a guest?
No, that's all I can think of.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, and keep listening. I'm curious, Bill, how much of the occult is involved in some of this stuff? I mean, like the Zodiac killer, is there any kind of a connection between all of that?
Oh, very much so. I am not looking for a lawsuit, Mike, with Scientology, but in my book, I show very clearly that this particular individual had his connections to Scientology. So did Charles Manson. And as far as the occult, I interviewed Susan Atkins in prison for nearly 10 hours on two visits, and I went in as a paralegal so that she made sure I couldn't talk about what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But in subsequent conversations, she told me that she attributes most of her trouble in her Christian life today, because she claims to be a Christian, to her days with the Church of Satan and Anton LaVey. She attributes most of her spiritual battles today to that, and I think it's fascinating, and that's as occultic and satanic as you can get.
Okay. I guess the other question I have is, what is the significance of Zodiac? In other words, again, you're talking to somebody who doesn't know too much about the Zodiac killer, but what is the significance of, say, the title Zodiac?
Well, the only significance I know from my research, and again, Dr. Davis can give you the full information on that, is that the Zodiac had an extreme interest and knowledge of astronomy, astrology, moon phases, water, and related things, and all of the key, every key to breaking the Zodiac is understanding his interest and his knowledge of those things. For instance, Dr. Howard Davis shows that in his book that every time Manson or Zodiac did a killing, that there had to be water related to it. Now, you say, well, that's kind of far-fetched. Well, just by example, there was the Hyperion Reservoir, invisible sight from the La Bianca house, and there was the swimming pool when a lot of the murders took place right around the pool. It was Gibby Folger who ran for her life past the swimming pool. Water played a very, very big important part. That's one of the Zodiac connections, and it's just fascinating to look at that because it goes in areas that my mind doesn't seem to be able to comprehend.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the program, get some closing comments, and let folks know how to get your book, which is Manson Behind the Scenes, and my guest is Bill Nelson, and we'll return in just a moment.
You can help support the Paranet Continuum by ordering from the 1997 Paranet catalog. Paranet offers products and services to keep you abreast of the latest in ufology and news of the paranormal. Get full-color laser-printed T-shirts and sweatshirts with space travel and alien themes, including the spectacular black-and-white Paranet T-shirt. Get audio cassettes of more than 130 Paranet Continuum radio shows, featuring interviews of such people as Richard Hoagland, Jacques Vallée, Stanton Friedman, Malachi Martin, Travis Walton, Betty Hill, Edgar Mitchell, and others, and topics ranging from abductions to Zeta Reticuli. You can also get Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine, and Paranet memberships with access to MICAP, our UFO investigations group, and discounts on merchandise. The 1997 Paranet catalog is free. Call now, 1-800-836-6381. That's 800-836-6381 for the Paranet catalog.
Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And once again, returning from California is my guest, Bill Nelson. He's got a book coming out on February the 12th, Manson Behind the Scenes. And Bill, where do we go from here?
I really hope that we can solve some of the unsolved murders, especially the murder of Zodiac, and tie up some loose ends on this case. Helter Skelter said that Doreen Gall may have rejected this person. Helter Skelter said that she may have been a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship to this individual, and I believe it's the opposite. This man, when he experienced rejection, did terrible things. I did an interview with his sister, and it's mind-boggling the information she gave me regarding him. So hopefully we'll open up a can of worms and we'll be able to clean out the can and solve some murders.
Is the public really safe from this whole affair still to this day?
Oh, I think we're safe because their targets were pinpointed. But someone said to me the other day, knowing my book's coming out, well, if you're correct and if he escapes, look out.
Okay, give out the information about how folks can get a copy of the book.
Thank you. Probably the best way, since your people are really tuned to the net, is www.mansonmurders.com. And we have a picture of Sharon Tate, a picture of the Tate property, Stephen Parent after he'd been murdered in the car. And probably that's the simplest way. If for any reason they're not on the net, they could address their correspondence to Pen Power Publications, P-E-N-P-O-W-E-R Publications, Box 1585, Costa Mesa, 92628, Costa Mesa, California, P.O. Box 1585. And we'll be glad to get a copy of the book to them. It's $24.95 plus $4 shipping and handling. And I'll tell you what, Mike, let's find out how much your listeners are interested. If they want to do it within, say, the next 10 days, if they want to make a purchase of the Manson Behind the Scenes, I'll pay the postage. So it's just $24.95 and no $4 shipping and handling. How about that?
That sounds great. Now, I want to wrap up here. We've got just about 30 seconds. You're going to come back on the program with the doctor you mentioned earlier to talk about the. I'm sorry.
Yes, Dr. Howard Davis.
Okay, so we're gonna bring you back on that and that. I want to thank you for being on the program tonight. Again, the book is Manson Behind the Scenes by Bill Nelson, and the website is www.mansonmurders.com. And that wraps it up for us tonight. So I want to thank you for being here. And once again, if you need to get a hold of me, you can reach me at 303-863-0484. Or you can send me email at mcorbin, M-C-O-R-B-I-N, @dimensional.com. And until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.